Thank you, boss. So I just want to recognize my co-authors, Lloyd Goldsamt, who's at NYU, and also Pimpawan Bunmongkon, who's the director of our Center for Health Policy Studies. This is Thailand, just in case. It's in Southeast Asia, borders Vietnam, Myanmar, Laos, and Malaysia. So Bangkok is my field site, and it's very metropolitan, of course. Lots of development happening, but then you also see, there's a lot of disparities in terms of inequalities, social and even health inequalities. So simply put, there's rich people, and then there's lots of poor people. All right. So some background. So I'm interested in why is research not being done, HIV-related research not being done among minors who are under 18 years in Thailand and in developing countries in general. And so looking into this, I was able to take part in the Research Ethics Training Institute at Fort Hamm, NIDA funded, and I was able to explore this more because all my research, including my dissertation, was 18 and above, right? Working with communities more and more, I'm hearing, why aren't you working with younger people? Because when you're working, when you're doing HIV prevention with 18 to 24, which is my area, the community members would say that is just simply too late. So, IOB and local community standards often oppose waiving the guardian permission. Investigators then are reluctant to engage with minors, and then therefore this problem is even more intensified when you're talking about sexual minorities, like young men who have sex with men. Okay, so just some quick epidemiology, why we care about young men who have sex with men. So currently in Thailand, they're the group with the highest HIV prevalence and incidence, 3 out of 10 in Bangkok, that's very high, and then incidence of 9%. So what does that mean? So in San Francisco, the incidence among gay men is 2%. Among black gay men, or black MSM in the United States, is 4%, and this is 9%. This is indeed a crisis. And currently, there are no observational behavioral intervention studies being conducted among young MSM under 18 years. So, how can this happen? Well, IRBs in Thailand follow development report and follow regulations in the U.S. Very closely, particularly my university, which is basically the leader in health research in Thailand and Southeast Asia. So one of the Code of Federal Regulations actually says that, you know, a waiver of parental or guardian permission can be granted, and it's a reasonable requirement to protect the subjects, for example, neglected or abused children, so provided that there's also additional protections. And so in order to protect the subjects, waiver of parental permission can be granted, right? Well, in practice, they're not being granted, and IRBs are reluctant to grant these waivers. And I, sorry for the text, I highlighted the areas you should look into. So we know that young MSM, if they have no waivers of permission, if they are to partake in these studies, right, they have to go to their parents. When they go to their parents, then they're kind of outing themselves, they're being hit, they're being kicked out of homes, they're being cut out of resources and money. There's lots of research for that, and by the way, you can come up to me for references afterwards. And then young MSM also, if you wait until they're over 18, then, you know, we lack the internal and external validity, right? So recall studies. So talk to guys 18, 19 and have them recall back to when they were, you know, 15, 16. So that's not so good. And then what about if you just talk to out MSM? Well, out MSM, they may actually misrepresent the larger group of young MSM and therefore limit the validity of findings. And, you know, in terms of developmental stage, being MSM or being gay or being queer or being a sexual minority, you know, there's actually stages of being out or disclosure. And so to be out to your parents is actually later in that trajectory from research. Okay, so what about the laws and regulations in Thailand? What is a minor? Is 18 really a minor? Actually, it's inconsistent. So, minors who are 15 can actually have a will and will their belongings to others, right? But then they can't be engaged in the military until they're 18. So it's kind of inconsistent and kind of difficult to interpret. And then in former discussions with senior IAB officials, we have learned that they assume that all research related to sexual minorities, they go to full board, even though it's anonymous, strip of all identifiers, because they assume that these populations are at increased risk from social harms, and so there's even more of a need to get this parental permission. Right, so that all of these are barriers to why research is not being done, at least for Thailand. So I wanted to have an exploratory study to understand the perspectives of parents and also young MSM, one, to eliminate the barriers and facilitators related to participation from their perspectives, and then two, to explore the concerns and solutions related to obtaining a parental permission. So the methods, this is qualitative research. The most important thing in this research was creating a community advisory board, a 12-member CAB that consisted of leaders in the IRB from major institutions. Most of them were our chairs. And then we had parents of sons. You just need to be parents of a son. Your son, you don't need to know anything about your son in terms of their sexuality, but they need to have a son 15 to 17 years old. And then we also got young MSM who are 18, but then they're still in the last year of high school and living with their parents. So it's kind of like a proxy, the closest thing we can get to somebody who's under their parents' control and all that. Training of research staff, recruitment, we did a lot of online and social media recruitment, focus group discussions and in-depth interviews. So these are just some photos. On the left here is with the discussions with parents, focus group discussions with dads, and then on the right with young MSM at a karaoke shop, and on the left is a private room, and on the left is a coffee shop. So I concentrate on Bangkok metropolitan area, and in terms of focus groups, so the CAB, so brilliant. They told us that you can't do guardians, you have to do dads and moms. Why? Because dads and moms are probably the most conservative and most protective. So we did that. And you've got to separate the dads from the moms. So we did that. And you've got to separate them by class. Like, oh, class. Okay, what about professionals? So being a professional in Thailand, you need to have a bachelor degree or higher. And so these folks have bachelor degrees or higher, and then the non-professionals are like taxi drivers and noodle stalls, keepers. So then with the young MSM, the CAB told us to separate them by young MSM who are living at home and also young MSM who are living in dormitories. So a lot of so this is in Bangkok, and a lot of guys or a lot of children, they from the provinces, they come and study in Bangkok and they stay in dormitories. Okay, so it's not uncommon to be in dormitory. And then finally, what was hot and cool and just so darn interesting, we pulled these people out to do IDIs, in-depth interviews. What does that mean? Sometimes one person gave us really interesting information and wanted to talk more and more, but we just didn't have enough time. Or there was something really interesting, but they didn't feel comfortable in a group setting to say it. We pulled them out, and it worked really well. Okay, so how did we go about doing this? So we had mock studies. So we're doing research by research, right? So I brought in, so we have these binders, right? These are binders handed out to all the parents and all the young MSM, and it's really cool. And I've got to give this credit to my research assistant who, you know, the pink side on the left is the mock participant information sheet, which tells the parents about the research study. On the right-hand side is the actual parental permission form. So they get to see, for example, the first study is physical activity among Thai youth, right? You read it, and then they read both of this, and then we talk about it, and then they vote whether they're going to sign or not. And then the next one is substance use, and then the next one is violence, and then, of course, the next one is about, it's a gay study, right? But we don't call it that. We call it young men caring for their health. But if you read the details, then it's like, oh my God, it's a gay study. So the whole point of this was to have a continuum. Right, to have a continuum of being really easy. Oh, it's physical activity. Come on, we want kids to exercise more. And what do you think about enrolling your kids in our study? Of course, yeah, they should exercise, not just play video games. But then we get close. Then we move up in the risk continuum into substance use, into violence. And as a researcher, and I facilitated all these focus groups, and I did all these in-depth interviews in Thai, but if I thought it was getting too easy, all the parents were saying yes and yes, then I put in my bonus studies. So for example, what about unwanted teen pregnancy? Because I wanted to really separate out the sexuality from the same-sex sexuality. Okay, so these are the mock studies. And so the findings, parents, they actually don't understand what is research. This was major for us, because we all assume they do. So I spent about 20 minutes talking about what is research. They thought it was like an intervention activity, like being part of like a sport group or a health promotion activity. Most parents want to grant permission because they want their kids to be healthier. That's very simple and common sense. Parents feel more comfortable if the institution's well-known, like a university, and our university is pretty respectable and well-known, and they were very okay with that. Professional parents are actually more concerned and usually ask about the study details, including parental permission forms. So the details, when is the study going to be at? Who, other than yourself, is going to be conducting the study? They wanted the details, and they wanted to call the number on the form, so that was interesting. And then finally, fathers more than mothers seem hesitant in granting parental permission for their son. Participation in these studies, fearing that their sons would become gay. But this was just like a few fathers, and that was our hypothesis, but it didn't pan out really for most of the fathers. And here is an example of a parent, a father non-professional, saying that, I want him to go, and, you know, even if it's a gay study, then that's good for him, and he needs to know. Okay? What about the perspective of Yami MSM? They want to be involved in research studies, especially when it pertains to them. So the last study, they were really excited. And they want to involve their parents in the decision making. This is interesting. However, they also realize that their parents are busy. And then they confess to us that, you know what, we kind of just signed these forms. There's a culture of signing. We sign forms all the time from schools. This is no different. Especially if this form is going to hurt us in terms of, you know, outing ourselves, we're just going to sign it. And of course we sign it because parents are busy. So especially for the students in dormitories and also students who are not out. Okay, and that makes a lot of sense. And here are some sample quotations. So look at the second one. What is not important? I will sign the form. And then, well, what is important? Well, something where we have to spend money, then we have to ask our parents for the money. Or we have to travel to other provinces. So being in the study is not something your parents need to know. No. Okay, so finally, like I said earlier, young MSM want to be part of the study and they want to help their peers. You know, this is like sort of an altruistic type of a feeling that came from the participants. And so this was really interesting for us. These photos are not photos of participants. They're photos of a new sitcom that's very popular, and it depicts a couple of gay couples. Okay, what about waiver parental permission? So most parents do not want to give out that power. They don't. They say, no way. And then I had to explain to them, well, here's the rationale behind it. You know, because, you know, young MSM, when they do that, sometimes they're outing themselves and then they get hurt. Then the parents were really sympathetic. And then, guess what they said? They said, how about, well, we still don't want to give out our power, because we're concerned about their safety. We don't care about the topic. It's not knowing where they are and who they're with is what we're concerned about. So let's solve this together. And they all unanimously said, if you do the studies in school, on school property, you don't need to tell us about it. It's sort of like a proxy permission type of thing. So, I think we're almost running out of battery too, right? So these are some quotations that we found, and parents are actually really into the safety of their kids more than the topics itself. Conclusion, I know we're running out of time. Both parents and young MSM do not understand research. That was very interesting. And why IRB intentions are really noble, in practice, this is not happening, right? So maybe, well, okay, parents would like to be involved in granting permission for their kids, but in reality, their kids end up signing and making that decision and don't want to involve them. And then finally, conducting research in school or on school property may be one way to ensure safety of minors while not having to tell their parents about the research study. And here are five recommendations that I adapted from Fisher and also from Mustansky. Serving on IRB and bring expertise about youth development and developing consent capacity to board discussions. So people working with youth, like myself, should serve on IRB, which is harder to say than to do, because as a junior faculty member, you know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of commitment. Two, convene and draw on the wisdom of the CAP. Without the CAP, this study wouldn't be as successful as it turned out to be. And then three, become familiar with the local laws and regulations regarding minors and age of consent. Four, really pilot these ethical procedures. And it really worked, and we did that with the CAP, and that worked really well for us. And then finally, people need to write this up. I mean, whether it's part of the methods section of papers or it's a methods paper, I think people just need to write this up. So our paper got accepted to Ethics and Behavior. It's in press right now, and the findings I'm showing today. But then I'm also currently writing a methods piece detailing our procedure and then detailing the Community Advisory Board. And I'm hoping to submit that to a similar ethics journal. So I just want to acknowledge the participants in the study, the Fordham Reedy Institute, and NIMH for funding me and funding this study. Thank you.